Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you got any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have the room for the books that would be written.
I hope that you have a Bible with you. It's good to have the Word of God with us. And as I said before, we need to look at the Scripture to see whether a preacher is preaching God's Word or preaching his own words. Yeah, if anything, you feel that the preacher is not preaching God's Word, please call him aside and talk to him. That's important. Let's begin by asking God to bless us with his word, shall we? Father God, we thank you for today. We gather together as your children. And Father, we pray that you quiet our hearts and minds as we listen to your word. Father, help us to listen carefully to your words. And Father, may your words transform us, guide us, and help us to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. When I was young, my parents' friends were gathered together and told my parents, "You have a very clever son, but it's good to speak in dialect. Lei kia ane gao." You know, in the olden days, the parents will, "Bola, no, he's a stupid son." You know, in the olden days, even how clever you are, your parents say, "Stupid, not clever." Yeah. I believe that you're smart, that means you agree with me. Friends, today, people are assessed on the performance in the workplace. If you are able to perform well, you are rewarded for a job well done. But if you are not, then you are considered as a failure, and your job will be at stake. Because of all these expectations, we ourselves strive to do well in all areas of our life. So therefore, failure in life is a no-no in this world. It's because to some people, failure means shame, uselessness. Moreover, they feel that they are not good enough for society, even for the church community. When we have failed, especially when we have failed those we love the most, we become emotional, embarrassed, angry, fear, shame, despair. When we have hurt someone deeply, we want to know if they still love us. Will they ever forgive me? Can I ever forgive myself? Dear friends, only those who have failed will truly appreciate this story. If you had known the shame of large failure, then you need to listen and pay attention to God's word this morning. This story is for you. As we look at chapter 21, 1 to 14, the Apostle Peter never forgot what happened when he denied Christ. As long as he lived, he never forgot that terrible night. Tradition says that he would start weeping whenever he heard a rooster crow. He felt that he did not stand up for his master when those around him asked him whether he was the one of the disciple of Jesus. But he did not have the courage to proclaim that he was Jesus' disciples. Not once, but three times he denied his master before the people who questioned him. And by now you know that person is the Apostle Peter. Peter believed in his heart that he was a failure. It was because he had let his master, Jesus, down so many times. He felt that he can't be a service to Jesus anymore. He felt that he was totally disqualified by reason of his public disowning of his master, Jesus Christ. Small wonder he decided to go back to his old profession, fishing. And he was going to resume living as a fisherman. Peter's actions shows that he was saying to himself, "I have failed as a disciple, but I think I can make it as a fisherman. At least I'm good in fishing." Here we see that Peter's self-esteem, self-confidence, and pride were in ruins. So he planned to give himself a goal to do what he was good at. Now listen to what Peter said to his friends. I'm going out to fish. And his friend agreed to go fishing with him, and off they went. In verse 3, they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. It must be very frustrating to fish all night and yet caught nothing. Remember, they were professional fishermen. And here the word of God tells us that early in the morning, they heard a voice instructing them to throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Peter and his colleagues obeyed and the result was overwhelming. They caught more than 100 fish, 153, simply by obeying the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that Peter and his colleagues were professional fishermen, and they have the knowledge and skill to know where to catch fish. But that night they caught nothing. And here the word of God is reminding us that the risen Lord Jesus was able to bring about something that Peter and his colleagues could not bring about. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, 4-11, we were told that Peter throughout the whole night he did not catch any fish. It was Jesus who told Peter to throw his net again, and Peter obeyed him. And verse 6 tells us that they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. In verse 8, when Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And they pulled their boats on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke and John, Jesus reminded his disciples that without him, they can do nothing. They need to remain in him. They need to totally depend on him. They need to trust in him. The only way they were to catch so many fish was because they listened and obeyed the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, God called each one of us to be fishers of men. And the only way to be successful in reaching out and bringing people into the kingdom of God is to abide in God's word. See, many times we fail in our ministry because we depend too much on our human knowledge, skill, and our own strength. The Lord allows us to fail in our ministry so that we may learn that only by his power we will ever be successful. J.I. Packer said, "That's one of the reasons our Master, in his providential ordering of things, does allow us, his servants, again to fail." Interestingly, the founder of Microsoft, Bill Gates, said, "Success is a lousy teacher. It makes smart people think they can't lose." The disciples needed to fail so that they could learn to depend on Christ for their victories. Sometimes it takes shameful failure for us finally to wake up and see our need of Christ. Christ. Immediately, John recognized Jesus on the shore and conveyed the news to Peter. And here we see the same old Peter, impulsive and always the first one to take action. What did Peter do? He immediately jumped into the water in order to be the first ashore. Here Jesus knew what was going on in the hearts and minds of disciples, especially Peter, who was carrying the guilt of failing Jesus three times. I believe Jesus came to his disciples to assure them that he is a living Lord, and also to assure them he will never leave them nor forsake them, even though they betrayed him. He still cared for them and loved them as a Lord and Savior. And here, friends, we see what a gracious and loving Lord we have. Look at verse 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. The Greek word for charcoal fire is used only one another place in the New Testament, in John 18:18, to refer to the charcoal fire in the courtyard where Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. By one fire, Peter said, "I don't know him." By another fire, he said, "Lord, you know I love you." By one charcoal fire, he denied Christ. By one charcoal fire, Peter is restored by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus already preparing food for his disciples to eat with him. And here we see the signs of his grace and provision, like the catch they have just taken. And here we also see that in spite of Peter denying Jesus three times, Jesus was the one who took the initiative to call Peter and the other six disciples to have fellowship or to eat with him. And friends, here he showed us that Jesus did not reject Peter. Instead, he still wants to have a close fellowship with him. What a loving and gracious Lord you and I are serving. You see, whatever terrible things we have done, our Lord is always gracious to invite us to come to him. Jesus did not say to them, "Go away, you unfaithful, useless disciples. Go and find your own food." Instead, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast with me." In the Gospel of John, we see three times Jesus invited people to come to him. 1 John 3:39, "Come and see." 7:37, "Come and drink." 21:12, "Come and have breakfast." Can you see this? An invitation of our Lord Jesus to come. Dear friends, there is always hope for those who are weary to come to Jesus and abide in him. It's because we are serving a living Savior and Lord, as the Apostle John assured and reminded us in verse 14. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Maybe some of you this morning are downcast because of your failure. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. This morning, Jesus is inviting you to abide with him. He will not leave you alone. He wants to restore you. Just like how Jesus restored Peter in the next scene. Let's look at 15 to 28. After they have finished eating, Jesus struck up a conversation with Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? And some of you may be wondering, what did Jesus mean by more than this? I suppose he went back to the time when Peter said to Jesus, Lord, even if all the rest of them disown you, I never will. Peter had boasted of his love for Christ and had even contrasted it with that of the other disciples. Peter believed that he loved the Lord more than the other disciples did. Mark 14, 29 says, Lord, even if all the rest of them disown you, I never will. Jesus knows all things. And he understood that despite of Peter's failure in the past, Peter was still a man of faith and commitment. Jesus was asking Peter whether Peter still stick on to Jesus with a deep and lasting love for him. Now, friends, it's a good question for all the disciples of Jesus Christ. That includes you and I. Jesus is asking us today, despite of all the trials, temptations, suffering, and our failure in life, do we still love Jesus deeply? Do we still love Jesus deeply? Do you? How did Peter respond to Jesus? He answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my lambs. Again, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. In spite of his failure and faults, Peter did indeed love the Lord. And he was not ashamed to admit it. We may think that Peter's reply pleased the Lord, and Jesus might say, I'm glad to know that you still love me despite your failure. No. Jesus again asked Peter the third time, Simon John, son of John, do you love me? Now, sometimes in pastoral ministry, maybe some of you will ask, How are you? They are fine. How are you? I'm okay. Then you ask again, How are you? Actually, not so good. Isn't that true? Sometimes we'll ask three times. Now, when Jesus asked Peter the third time, the word of God tells that Peter was deeply grieved. When Jesus asked him the third time, Do you love me? Just a husband and wife. The wife asks the husband, Darling, do you love me? Love you. Really? Love you? Yeah, ask so many times. Isn't that true? Wives? How many times you ask your husband, Do you love me? Peter did not say, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Instead, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. My husband, don't misquote this, yeah? Indeed, Jesus knows all things. It's because he is omniscient. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, chapter 2 and 3, we are told that Jesus knows about the conditions of the seven churches. And friends, we can pretend that we love Jesus because our brothers and sisters in Christ, before our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we cannot hide our insincere love before our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows whether we truly, truly love Him. Jesus asking three times recalls the three denials. And Peter's pride was cut to the quick. And here we see that Christ is a great physician. Great physician performing painful but necessary surgery. Without such brokenness, Peter was not able to hear and receive the guidance from Jesus. At last, Peter was aware of Jesus' knowledge of what goes on in the hearts of people. And because of that knowledge, Jesus must know of the love his unworthy servant bore him. When Peter denied Jesus three times in the face of his enemies, he acted in a way unworthy of Christ's disciples. But now, three times he had been given the opportunity of acknowledging his love for Jesus. And three times he has been commissioned to act as a shepherd to the flock. And here was a clear declaration before the other disciples that Peter was forgiven and restored to his place of leadership. When Christ asked the question the third time, Peter's heart is grieved, and he said with a contrite heart, "Lord, you know all things." With those words, Peter renounces all his self-confidence on that night in the upper room. He thought he knew himself, but he didn't. Now he's not too sure. He doesn't even trust in his own heart. Instead, he trusts in the Lord who knows all things. And this a mighty step forward in Christian growth. It's a great advance to come to the place where you can say with conviction, "My trust is in the Lord alone." Sometimes we have to hit bottom and hit it hard before we can say those words. Friends, do you realize that Jesus did not ask Peter about his leadership abilities or his capacity to preach or how good he was preaching or anything else except just this? Does he love his master Jesus? Yes, friends, preaching and teaching of gospel is important. Sometimes as a church, we assess the people on pulpit on their gifts, how good they are. We say, "Oh, he's a good preacher, he's a good teacher, he's a good singer." But have you ever asked that question? Does he love Jesus deeply? We must remember that it's not how much we do or how gifted we are, but rather how much do you and I love Jesus day by day? Some of us may love him dearly, others may not. But the abiding principle is that before all things, even service to him, we must love Jesus with all our hearts, with all our minds. And friend, that is the highest priority in life. Jesus told Peter, if you love me, then feed my sheep, feed my lamb, take care of the flock, look after these others as my representative. And then what Jesus responding to Peter's honesty by restoring him to his ministry. And here Jesus telling Peter that he was back in business, the business of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to become the shepherd of Jesus' flock. It's no point to say that we love Jesus, but do not obey his instructions. If we love Jesus, we must put our love in action. It was precisely what Peter was commanded to do, and that was to feed God's people and care for their needs. Peter was to feed not his sheep, remember, but Jesus' sheep. When people say, this is my church, I've grown my church from 30 to 1,000. Sorry, it's not your church. It's God's church. You are God's people, not pastor's people. Remember that. You belong to Jesus. Amen. You do not belong to your pastor or your deacons. Always keep that in mind. In Acts 20:28, the Ephesian leaders are to care for the church of God. Listen carefully. Which he obtained with his own blood. Loving the church is related to love for Christ. If we truly say that we love Jesus, then we must obey his command by loving those under our care. If Christ has put you in leadership, you are responsible to feed and care for Jesus' sheep. Whether it is Sunday school, small group, youth group, or family members, you are commanded by our great shepherd to see those under your wings are spiritually fed and cared for. If all of us do our part, then I believe that God's flock will be spiritually healthy and happy. Right after telling Peter to feed and care for his sheep, Jesus told Peter that serving his master was not easy. It was because he has to pay a price. Peter won't be able to save his skin. He will be put to death, just like Jesus. And his death, he will glorify God. To be Christ's disciples is not an easy task, my dear friends. It's not just another thing to do. It's not a light cross to carry. Luke 9:23, we read, if anyone who come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. After telling Peter about what was going to happen to him in the future, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Here it means keep on following Jesus. Keep on following Jesus. You see, it's because in the past, Peter's following Jesus had been somewhat inconsistent. Sometimes he had been very right, sometimes very wrong. Jesus is telling Peter to keep on following him. And you can see that Peter said, yes, there really would then be saying, Lord, I'm not going to concern myself with saving my skin any longer. Yes, yes, I will follow you. But What about him? Here Peter was referring to the Apostle John. What about him? Doesn't he sound familiar to some of us? Whenever our parents, our teachers, our manager, or church leaders ask us to do something, either verbally or non-verbally, we say about him, about her. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Peter got the message. His responsibility was to follow Jesus and not to worry about those around him. Peter was to focus his eye upon Jesus, his master. His responsibility is to follow Jesus. Is to obey Jesus. Dear friends, our duty is to follow Jesus and not to compare with one another. We all find so easy to comment on the other service other Christians are serving, or in our opinion, are not serving. You see, criticism comes easy, but it's not part of being a disciple of Jesus. Our duty is to follow Jesus. If we continue to comment on others or criticize them, and you can be sure that our ministry will not be will be unfruitful and miserable. And you too can be sure that Jesus is not pleased with our attitude. In closing, what can we learn from God's word this morning? There are a few things that you and I can ponder upon. One, Jesus is gracious and loving Savior and Lord. In spite of all our failures as Christians, He is still there for us, waiting to heal our wound. And friends, what a gracious and merciful Lord we are serving. Second, God does not want His followers to end in failures, but learn from their failures and proceed with their allegiance to Jesus. So let us not hesitate to return to the Lord when we have failed Him once and twice. All of us, including me, have failed the Lord one way or another in different situations. Thirdly, we need to be honest with ourselves and with God. If the hope of God renewing us as He renewed Peter and to be fulfilled. And can we say it to Jesus with Peter, "Lord, you know that I love you." No doubt, we are compelled to say with Peter, "Lord, I know I let you down. What I've done is terrible. And the memory of it is so awful. And yet in my heart, I do love you. And what I want more than anything is to love you more and more." And we must keep in mind that God does not look at our success and failure in life. What He's looking is for our love for Him and our obedience to Him. And lastly, I have good news for you. God is inviting you to come and abide with Him. He wants, friend, He wants to restore you as He restored Peter to his leadership role. And the question is, will you accept Jesus' invitation? Come and eat. Come and follow me. For you, let us pray. Father God, as we come together as your people, thank you, Lord, for your assurance that you have forgiven us because we come to you, Lord, to say, Lord, we are sorry. We are sorry that we failed so many times. And dear Lord, you are such a gracious and merciful Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. And Father, please help each one of us, Lord, to love you more and more. Not to love our gifts, our talents, our abilities, but Lord, to love you and to obey you. So that the name of Jesus be praised and be glorified. In your precious name we pray. Amen.